The Parpon matches had thinned out the gym. Esme saw only three others, each engrossed in his or her own program. Someone had left the display wall on its mirrored setting. She faced her reflection and automatically looked away from the face. Her legs, she saw, looked hard and fit. She should probably do more with her upper body, but wasn't certain what. She didn't feel like swimming or using the machines designed for upper body building. What she wanted was to scramble up some rocks. Nothing really hard, but movements less regular than a machine would demand.
Excuse me, Lieutenant.
Esme jumped, then was furious with herself for reacting that way. She looked. It was Ensign Serrano, with what she privately considered that look on his face.
Yes?
I just wondered if the Lieutenant would like a sparring partner.
Esme stared at him in sheer surprise. It was the last invitation she'd expected from a Serrano. From him.
Not you.
It got out before she could censor it. He flushed, but looked stubborn.
Not me? Why?
I thought you were different.
This time he understood. The flush deepened, and then he went as pale as a bronze-skinned Serrano could and pulled himself up.
I don't have to suck up to you. I have more influence in my family.
Esme knew what he would have said, could have said. With the Serrano Admiralty behind him, he didn't need her.
I liked you. Yes, my cousin mentioned you, and yes, of course I saw the media coverage, but that's not why.
Esme felt guilty for misjudging him, and perversely annoyed with him for being the occasion of her misjudgment.
I'm sorry. It was very rude of me.
You're apologizing?
Of course. I misinterpreted your actions.
But you're... It's just, I don't think it needed an apology. Not from a lieutenant to an ensign, even if you did misunderstand my motives.
But it was an insult. You had a right to be angry.
Yes, but you making a mistake and me being angry isn't enough for an apology like that.
Why not?
Because...
He looked around. Esme became aware of unnatural silence, and when she looked, saw the other exercisers turning quickly away.
Not here. Sir, if you really want to know.
I do.
While she had a captive informer willing to explain, she wanted to know why. Because it had bothered her for years that fleet officers routinely shrugged off their discourtesies without apology.
Then, no offense intended, we should go somewhere else.
For once, I wish this was home. You'd think on a ship this size it'd be someplace quiet to talk that didn't imply things.
If the lieutenant would consider a suggestion?
Go ahead.
There's always the wall, up in the gardens.
Gardens don't imply things?
They certainly did on Altiplano, where there in the garden meant knowing smirks and raised brows.
No, the wall, the climbing wall. Even if you haven't ever climbed a real rock.
I have. You mean they have a fake rock wall?
Yes, sir, and the Parpon match is on the way.
I always heard Serranos were devious. All right, I'd like to try this fake cliff.
The cliff, when they arrived, was festooned with would-be climbers wearing all the accoutrements of their sport. Esme stared up at the safety lines swinging from overhead.
Sorry, I thought they'd be gone by now. It's past the time the climbing club usually finishes, and no one else ever seems to use it.
Never mind. They're not paying any attention to us.
Esme examined the cliff closely. The indentations the climbers were using for their feet and hands were molded fiber ceram, attached to the cliff face with metal clamps.
Looks like fun.
Baron peered upward.
It is, though I'm not very good at it. But one of my bunkies is an enthusiast, and he's dragged me along a few times. That's how I know when they're usually done.
Come on up!
Esme fitted her hand into one of the holds.
I don't think so. I don't have any gear. And besides, we had a conversation going.
Conversation or an argument? Sorry, sir.
No offense taken.
Around the base of the fake cliff, decorative rock-like forms had been placed to mark off the climbing area from the garden beds. Esme found a comfortable niche and sat down.
I'm not letting you off, though. If you can explain the protocols of apologies in fleet, I'll be forever grateful.
Well, as I said, what you called an insult is not that important. I mean, unless you really wanted my friendship, and that's personal. Is it on your world?
On her world, duels would have been fought, and honor would have been satisfied for the apologies Fleet never bothered with. Would he think her people barbaric because they cared?
It's different. We do tend to apologize easily for things.
So that's why Command... Some people think of you as tentative.
Esme wondered which commander.
They do?
Yes. At least that's what I've heard some people say. You apologize for things we... Sorry, most of the fleet families wouldn't. Things we just take for granted. So it seems as if you're not sure of what you're doing.
Esme blinked, thinking back down her years in fleet, from the prep school on. She had made a lot of mistakes. She had expected to. She had been guided by the family rules. Tell the truth, admit your mistakes, don't make the same mistakes twice, apologize promptly and fully for your errors. How could they think that was weakness and uncertainty? It was willingness to learn, willingness to be guided.
I see. So when you make a mistake, you don't apologize?
Not unless it's pretty massive. Oh, you say you're sorry if you step on someone's foot, but you don't make a procedure out of it. Most mistakes, you own up, of course, and take the responsibility, but the apology is understood.
Is it offensive?
Oh, no, not offensive. A little bothersome if someone's always doing it. It makes seniors a bit nervous because they don't know how sincere it is.
You have insincere apologies?
Of course. You don't.
No.
Esme felt as if she'd ridden out into a dry riverbed and sunk hock-deep in quicksand.
On our world, an apology is always part of taking responsibility for errors. It accompanies action taken to redress the wrong and ensure that the error is not repeated.
That was almost a quote from the conventions.
An insincere apology is like any other lie.
Fascinating. Must be very different. If you didn't know, I mean...
I understand what you mean. It's a new idea for me, that apologies could get me into trouble.
Not trouble exactly, but the wrong idea about you.
Yes, I take your point. Thank you for the information.
You don't have to thank... But you do, don't you? Thanking goes with apologizing. Your world must be terribly formal.
Not to me.
Do the others born into fleet seem rude to you?
Sometimes. I expect that I sometimes seem rude to you, or them.
Not rude. Very polite. Extremely polite. Even formal. Everyone says how nice you are. So nice they couldn't figure out how you could do what you did.
Esme shivered. Did they really think rudeness went with strength? With the killing way? That someone who said please and thank you and I'm sorry couldn't fight or command in battle? A grim satisfaction flowered briefly. If the Altiplano militia ever came off planet, Fleet wouldn't know what hit them.
I'm not sure myself how I did what I did, besides making a great number of unnecessary mistakes.
Mistakes? You stopped a Benignity invasion.
Not by myself.
Well, no, you weren't out there with your white horse galloping across the stars alone.
Why do you people use that image so much? The white horse thing, I mean. Yes, we use horses on Altiplano, but where did you get the idea that they're all white?
Oh, that's not about you, nor Altiplano. It's from the tale of the White Knights, who all rode white horses and spent their time doing great deeds. Didn't you have that in your libraries?
Not that I know of. Our folk tales ran to Brother Ass and the Cactus Patch, or the Starfolk and the Swimmers of Dawn. The only heroes on horses we knew about were the Shining Horde.
You really do come from another culture. I thought everybody had grown up with the White Knights, and I never heard of the Swimmers of Dawn or Brother Ass. The Shining Horde. That wasn't an ancestor of the Blood Horde, was it?
No, they're just legends. Supposedly, they were people with strange powers who could glow in the dark, without getting too close to atomics.
The climbers, now near the base of the wall, ended that conversation. Esme went over to see what equipment they used, much like that she'd used at home, and was offered more help than she wanted if only she'd join the climbing club. They would teach her. She could start on the easy end.
I've scrambled around on some boulders.
One of the climbers pointed.
Well, you should come join us. We can always use new members, and soon you'll be right up there. It's like nothing else, and this is the only ship I know with a real wall.
He was so clearly entwined in his hobby that Esme felt no embarrassment. He would have welcomed anyone willing to climb off the flat deck.
Come on, just go up a little and let me see how you move. Please?
Esme started up the wall. She had never done as much climbing as her male cousins, but she had learned how to reach and shift her center of gravity without swinging away from the slope. She made it up a meter or so before losing her grip and slithering back down.
Good start. You'll have to come again. I'm Trey Sannon, by the way. If you need climbing gear, there's some in our club lockers.
Thanks. I might do that. When's your meeting time?
Sannon told her, then led the other climbers away. Esme turned to Baron.
And thank you. I'm sorry I misjudged you, and you'll just have to put up with my apology. At least this time.
Gladly.
He had an engaging grin, she noticed, and she felt an impulse to trust him even more than she had already. That night, she slept free of nightmares and dreamed of climbing the cliffs of home with a dark-haired boy who was not quite Baron Serrano.